Triple M Football is the number one football call on radio. And your front row.
For Ring hot water heaters. If your hot water needs replacing, accept nothing less than Australia's best. Install a Ream.
Welcome to the Sunday Rub.
For McDonald's fan feed boxes.
Triple M rocks football.
Yes, for Ream hot water heaters, this is the Sunday Rub for McDonald's. Triple M rocks football. Spectacular Sunday afternoon. We've got a good game for you this afternoon as well. The reigning premiers will unfurl their premiership flag of last year, and they will tackle the same team as they did in the grand final, the West Coast Eagles, here at the MCG. Glorious afternoon, not a cloud in the sky, a light flutter of the flags on the city end goals. Spectacular day ahead. A lot to get through today. James Kelly, a new Bomber, will join us a little bit later. Exciting win for the Bombers yesterday over the Demons at this very ground. Adam Simpson, coach of the West Coast Eagles, will also join us, and Luke Hodge, the injured star and captain of the Hawks, will join us as well. Got the normal Sunday crew on board here today. Mickey Roberts is here with us. Ash Tura is here with us. We've got Jay-Z, Jay Clark, also with us as our main newsman. Wayne the King Carey is with us, and Swatter, Wayne Swass, also here today. Myself, Brian Taylor. Gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to you, Duck.
G'day, BT. G'day, boys, listeners. Another beautiful day in Melbourne, yes. BT. It's yes. Magnificent. And I tell you what, hasn't there been some upsets this weekend? It's been a very interesting round of footy. We love round one, but I love round two because of, you know, the great unknown.
It's been a boil-over fest so far, Swatter, hasn't it?
It has, BT. We may see one today. Hawthorn probably at their weakest, Jay-Z for a long period of time. Keen to see how West Coast go about their business.
Pretty confident on the Eagles, I must say today, Swatter, this week. And I think the Hawks might be in trouble next week against the Bulldogs as well. BT, you come in here today with the healthiest looking lunch I've ever seen. Normally, you come in here, you're sort of straight into the party pies, the sausage rolls.
The burgers, the fan feed boxes, please.
Sorry, the spicy rice, all that sort of stuff. You come in fish. With the biggest box of fruit. You basically came in with it on your shoulder. You're a shadow of your former self.
And a bunch of grapes.
Fruit. Yeah. You're a vegetarian.
Hey, Jay-Z, but then got lectured on the time that he should eat from a man that proceeded to show his six-pack after he'd finished telling BT, you too, Brian, can look like this after 15 years.
I don't do that, so I do the right thing. I bring fruit in thinking, oh, well, that's doing the right thing. And then old snuff-off duck says, he says, well, don't eat that after 2 o'clock because that'll be bad for you. And by the way, that skinny latte you're having, you shouldn't be having skinny, you should be having full cream. It's got too much sugar in it. I said, Duck, I don't get any other sugar in any other meal of the day.
Oh, that's what the bucket of fruit was. There, BT. So no, good on you.
Can't win.
You're having a go, mate.
Can't that's win, mate. In fact, my wife, Tanya, tried to send me in here today with this this sort of a cloth esky sort of arrangement. And I took one look at it and I burst out laughing. I said, you want me to walk in the box with that 3LO type Tim Lane arrangement? And I said, there is no way. She said, it's got a bloody cooler in the bottom of the whole thing. I said, get it out of there. There's no way I was walking up here with that anyway. So we've got a lot to get through to do. Today, and a lot of it's great news for clubs that perhaps haven't been in the hunt in recent time. If you've just joined the weekend of football, North Melbourne, you should know, defeated Brisbane by 34. The Dogs defeated St Kilda by 57. And Gold Coast, a big surprise, beating Fremantle by 26 points. Where do we start, Jay-Z, with the Dogs?
Well, the Dogs, because can they win a flag this year? I saw them last night. I know it was only St Kilda boys, but their run, their attack, their dare off halfback, the options have got up forward, their depth in the list. They're coming from $17 for the premiership to $9 and take on Hawthorn, and I think can beat them, Duck. Am I getting ahead of myself here or what?
Oh, look, obviously it's only round two, but they're an exciting team, and I can't believe that I left them out of my eight this year. But I didn't realise, Swatter, and this is why you should look at where they play and their draw more closely. The first seven at Etihad, BT, yep. I think 14 all
in total,
up
yep.
in total at Etihad. And they just play that ground so well. And the fact that they get the Hawks there, I think if they had a really good win against the Hawks next week, I think you'll have everyone up and excited. But they're just a great team to watch, aren't they?
You're excited about their pace and their fluency, which really wasn't there last night. I mean, it was there in little squirts, but it was better the week before.
Mm. Johannesson on the wing.
So they played ugly as well last night and won, which is a really good sign for them. But for me, their defence, I think they've only, is it less than 40 points in each game?
So 80 points in total or something over the two games? They've
five goals in each. Yeah, restricted.
That is incredible. So that's setting up and give. They have a great attacking back line that can all really kick it. You know, you look at Boyd, the former skipper, Murphy,
Wood,
Johannesson, yeah. Biggs, another, and
Marcus Adams.
Yep. Adams. They're all
good
kicks.
And BT, and that is the number one. That is the number one thing that you have to be good at if you're going to play this transition footy and this more attacking corridor footy that we're talking about. I'm going to flip to Fremantle just for a quick second. Now they've adjusted their game plan, so they've kicked more points last night, so they're more attacking. But if you can't hit targets, turnovers kill you, and that's so you hit with the Bulldogs. Reason why, they hit targets, so they're not getting scored against because the ball doesn't come back down. They don't get burnt. That is the number one, and that's why this side that we're about to watch today, the Hawks, have been so good. Great decision makers and great users of the footy.
I don't think the Bulldogs' defensive back six have really been put to the test in the opening two games because their midfield pressure has been outstanding. It'll be interesting to see how the back six do respond when an opposition midfield gets control of the game.
And that's why it's outrageous that Jay-Z's flagging them as a premiership right now. Yeah. They get carried away with things and it's all about selling the paper tomorrow.
I think he was the one that suggested that the package, your boy, was Gary Ablett Senior like.
No, that wasn't that wasn't me. But I'll tell you what I did like. Luke Beveridge in the press conference.
Snavelled off us last week. But
anyway. Well, Luke Beveridge in his press conference last night embraced that. He said, I think it's good that our players are finally receiving, well, not finally, but receiving some credit, etc. I think we acknowledge that and players love to play the game to get the joy and the pat on the back. So rather than Beveridge shooting it down, possibly, as some other coaches did, he lapped it up and had a smile on his face. I thought that was just so refreshing. No wonder the players love playing for him. He's such a warm bloke.
So do they have a game style and plan that is going to... Are we seeing the changing of the guard? I mean, it's really hard because it's round two, as you said, Duck, but are we seeing the football that has won premierships over the last, say, 6 or 7 years be changed all of a sudden, and all of a sudden a team like the Dogs is now capable with that brand of footy?
Yeah, I do. I really do. I think that the... with the rule changes this year and how they want the AFL and through those rule changes, this is how they want all teams to play. And let's be honest, when Hawthorn are playing their best footy and when the Cats are playing their best footy, that's the sort of footy. Now, there are some more negative teams, if you like, and Fremantle fall into that bracket. But you look at West Coast last year, the second highest scoring team, they play in the grand final. So it's certainly going that way. And like I said, if you use the footy well and they have got great users and you have great decision makers, and clearly if you hit your targets, then you look like a great decision maker because then they're able to play on and hit another target. So all of a sudden, they have to come into the picture. I'm not jumping up and down saying that, you know, they're going to win the premiership. But like I said, I didn't have them in my eight. Mm. So I still think they've got a little bit of work to do.
I'll throw this at you. Libba, McLean, Wallace, Hunter, Stringer, if you like. You can throw him in there as well. Caleb Daniel.
McRae.
Bond. They're all young kids. What a young...
Bontempelli.
What a young kids extremely susceptible to?
Pressure.
The inconsistencies, aren't they? So I can't see this being a slow build by the Western Bulldogs where they force their way to the top of the ladder. I can see some bad games and I can see some really good periods as well.
Well, do you know what they are, BT? They're ahead of the curve. They're the fourth youngest list in the competition and they're absolutely tracking ahead of schedule.
I'll tell you what. Well, they're way ahead of the team that I watched yesterday in Melbourne. When you have a win and you come here with fat heads, they have a win, the Bulldogs. They come up against St Kilda. And let's be honest, St Kilda not one of the stronger teams. Could have quite rightly, as you say, young team, maybe come in there, you know, maybe not quite switched on. No way did the Bulldogs come that way like another team.
Can you play the way that they play at Eddie Had Stadium at the MCG? They've got two games this year at the MCG, one against Melbourne, one against Collingwood. They play the Eddie Had Stadium venue better than anybody else, but it's a different dimension ground. Can you play the same way at a different ground like this and win big games of footy?
Well, I asked Beveridge that last night and he said, yes, you can. He said, we played with the same game style. He said, it's the same length. It's just a little bit wider.
They tried that against Adelaide and how'd that go in the finals?
A goal short. They only fell up at the goal short.
And that's what everyone said about the Eagles playing in the grand final here last year, Swatter, as well. The way they zone, obviously a wider ground, harder to zone. But look, and that's why we can't jump up and down after two rounds, and that's why this round has been so great. We had all the round one doomsdayers last week saying, "Oh, they're no good, they're no good." Now that's all been reversed.
See, I reckon Beveridge is a huge reason why there's this up end to the Dogs at the moment. The way that he talks to the players, the way he treats them, the way he gets them up and gets them to come along and buy into what he's selling. He must be a really, really good coach, a really good salesman to give the confidence to these young kids to allow them to do what they've done so far, I reckon.
But if you feel like you've got a good relationship with your coach, if you like the coach and you feel that that's reciprocated back the other way, doesn't that reflect in your performances?
Oh, of course it does. Of course it does. But it's funny you say that because we 3 years ago we were sitting here saying that about Ken Hinckley and how wonderful that is. And all of a sudden, BT, there's a little bit of trouble over in Adelaide.
That is a good call because he had the players on board, didn't he? Everyone was raving his,
game plan and the way they played and they attacked through the corridor. They were exciting. They were all of that. That's fallen off.
He was taking on the challenge too. He opened up the doors to the Port Adelaide Footy Club as well, so he's embraced it.
And see, there's all this attacking style of football. Make no mistake about it, the little sideline to all of what you're talking about, and someone mentioned Gillon McLachlan before. Gillon is now meeting with the coaches once a year or twice a year, and he brings them around to his house. That's not just so they can drink some plonk and get blotto. This is called building relationships with the guys that can have the most influence. It's easy to pull someone in the office and say, we want you to play better brand of football. But to first of all build a relationship with them and then be able to, in casual conversation, say to John Worsfold, hey, Johnny, you're going well, mate. Team's playing beautiful football. You know, I reckon it's all part of the AFL strategy to just lessen the gap between coaches and administration and get them closer together.
Which seems like a no-brainer. Can you go back to the former regime with Demetriou and there was a disconnect, wasn't it? They brought in Mark Evans from Hawthorn. He's a very club man. He's got great contacts. And I think McLaughlin's trying to follow in the same path. I think you're right there, BT. You said, Duck, earlier about Jesse Hogan. Have we got time now, BT? We were talking earlier about him and his body language yesterday. You're talking about Melbourne coming in with fat heads.
Well, we might hold that thought.
I'm interested in what he's going to say about this.
Yeah, well, I am too, and that's why we'll probably hold on, have a break, and just not burn everything, given the fact we've got 3 hours to go before the game gets underway. Just before we talk Melbourne, let's talk from an Essendon perspective. And to help us do that, we've got James Kelly on the line, who's joined the Bombers, had 28 disposals in the win over the D's yesterday. His second game, and he played beautifully in the first as well. And he joins us on Triple M Football. James, congratulations and well done yesterday.
Thank you very much, mate. I appreciate that.
Must have been delighted with the team's performance. I was just talking to Wayne Carey off air before, and he said you guys just kept attacking down the corridor no matter what the situation was.
Yeah, I think Wisher spoke about that after the game, that he was really proud of the way the guys went about it. Even when Melbourne kicked a couple of goals in a row at a few stages during the game, the boys stuck with it and didn't go into their shells and just kept persisting. And it's a real credit to a young group to be able to sort of have that resolve in what was a game that had a fair bit of pressure on it. So I'm really proud of the boys' efforts.
Yeah, well done, James. Congratulations on a fantastic win and good start to the year for yourself. It was a real highlight, I thought, in the third quarter. Your captain, Goddard, he went inboard, he missed the target. Melbourne went down and kicked a goal. But you just never stopped, I guess, attacking in that manner. And just to follow up on that question, I just thought that was a real highlight. And obviously, you had a big target down there in young Joe Danaher. And boy, wasn't he sensational.
He was unbelievable, wasn't he? I've sort of watched a bit of Joe, obviously, at training and stuff, and he's shown glimpses of that during games. And probably last week, the marks that he took this week, he dropped last week and got himself in some really good positions. But yesterday he was fantastic. He looked like he was going to mark everything. I think he had 8 or so contested marks, which is a huge effort for a young player. He's only played 50 games. And the thing I liked most also was he didn't really get outmarked in the forward line, which he brought the ball to ground when he didn't mark it and gave our small forwards a chance to at least put a bit of pressure on so we could set up behind the ball much better, which was probably a bit of a difference to last week.
James, it's Jay Clark here. Before leading into the season, everyone said that you weren't going to win a game. You were definitely going to win the spoon, and it was basically a hopeless case. How have you maintained the positivity, and did you detect against Melbourne a certain vulnerability? Like early in the match, did you sort of smell blood in the water against the D's a little bit?
Oh, not really. I think just the first part of the question with keeping positive is we just always try to focus on what we're doing, and Woosh has been really strong on pushing that. Even after the results in the NAB Cup against Geelong and West Coast, at the end of the game, both of those games, Woosher was just really strong on, you know, we persist with what we've been doing. We're working really hard on all that sort of stuff. The results will come, but we just keep working. And I think that's been really driven from him and the other coaches, that that's what we keep coming back to. That's always our starting point with everything. So, and as to Melbourne, I'm not sure we really smelt blood in the water, but I think there was just a bit of a proud feeling at the start of the game. There was a lot of past Essendon players there, and there was the march from the ground, and Woosher just sort of said, you know, it's our job to go out there and stand up ourselves and put in a good performance. We never really talked about winning or anything like that. It was just always about the way we want to play. And I guess probably I get three-quarter time, the boys had a feeling that if we made a bit of a push at it, we can really have a chance of winning. And you could sort of see that in the way they play. They kept attacking the game and moving the ball really well. And our defence was really solid. The midfielders and the forwards put a lot of pressure on, which helped. So I think there was just that bit of belief. I'm not so sure there was a bit of blood in the water, but there was just the belief that if we played the right way and keep doing what we'd been doing, we could win.
Hey, James, there's been a lot made of the players that have, like yourself, that have come from out of retirement, or players that have been delisted at other clubs and that have been brought into the Bombers to help them through a difficult year. What about Woosher? What's his great strength, and what have you enjoyed and admired in the short time that you've been with the Bombers that John Worsfold's brought to the club?
I think just his whole demeanour around the place. He's a really measured, really calm sort of guy. And like I touched on before, after the games where we didn't have great results, he was just really measured in what he said, really consistent message, which is obviously what you want from all your coaches, and he really drives that. He's fantastic at getting around to every player. He talks to everyone with selection issues and, you know, all that sort of stuff. As soon as match committee's over, he's got his list of players he needs to talk to. He makes sure he gets around and has the conversation with everyone. And I think it's just those little things that make you feel like the coach is really on your side. It's not sort of the coaches and the players. It's everyone's in it together. And him driving that culture and driving the culture of having elite standards around the football club and eventually building a really elite playing group is something I've really admired so far.
James, what were you doing 8 weeks ago before you got a call from the Bombers? Where were you heading? What was your life going to look like in that next sort of four to 8 weeks where we are now?
Well, I'd started working at the AFL. I'd taken up a project role in the footy ops department there, and which I was really excited about starting. And the AFL have been really supportive with me over this whole time, so I'll go back to that once I actually finish playing this year. But I'd sort of only just started. It was my first day when the Essendon boys got suspended, and I got a phone call at the end of that day. So I was really looking forward to that, and that's a road I want to head down eventually, and I'll go back to it at the end of the season.
Hey, James, young Parrish, played well in his first game, thought he was really, really good again yesterday. You've played with a lot of players. You've played in very, very good premiership teams. How good can he be? I tell you what, if I was a forward, my eyes would light up every time he got it. He's a great user.
He is. He just makes really good decisions going forward, doesn't he? He's got probably something that takes a lot of young guys a fair while to work on, is, you know, the long kick to the tall forward, or if there's a short lead up to be able to take that. He makes that decision quite well. I really like him. Obviously, it's easy to say he's going to be a good player now, but I think he'll just keep progressing. He keeps things really simple. He's really, really composed when he gets the ball. He's really composed around the club. He just goes about his work. He works really hard. And all of those sort of qualities is what you want out of a young sort of midfielder. He's not a project player or anything. He's been able to have an impact straight away, and he'll just keep rolling on it. He sort of reminds me a little bit of Joel Selwood when he first started. He's just, you know, really, really driven. He's good around the ball. He's smart and all that sort of stuff. He's got a long way to go to be Joel Selwood, but he's that sort of demeanour around the place.
Hey, James, I would have imagined you've crossed paths with Ryan Crowley, as a former Geelong great, and he was a Fremantle player. What's he like having as a teammate? You're seeing him in a different light?
Yeah, well, I definitely like him better when he's on my team. I don't think I'd be the only person to say they didn't like Crowley when I was playing against him, but he's been really good. You know, obviously, he's got a wealth of experience and been in a good side over there, and he's just a good player to have in your team. But yeah, I didn't enjoy him much when he was playing for Freo.
Jimmy, just last one on Brent Prismal, who you know from Geelong. You might have heard already his comments from yesterday. Said, you know, still troubled by the whole supplement scandal every day and felt like guinea pigs. Have you had much to do with Brent, and how much sympathy do you have for his plight at the moment?
Oh, yeah, I've had a little bit to do with Pris. I got a lot of sympathy for him, you know, as I do for the whole sort of group of guys. I don't know a lot about it. My sort of concern is for him, not what actually happened. But it's just a really hard situation for everyone to be in when there's still this long after, you know, everything, there's still a few question marks that would be really hard to deal with. And that's something they're going to have to work through. And the reality is there's not a lot that we can actually do about it. They have to sort of find their own way through it. But you do feel for him. You know, you'd like to be able to work and staying footy and all that sort of stuff. So hopefully that gets, you know, resolved sooner rather than later.
Absolute delight to talk with you, James. Appreciate your time.
No worries, guys. Thanks very much.
James Kelly now at Essendon, giving us a bit of his time there. Much appreciated there. If he always thought duck there in one of the questions, about question two or three, was going to rival Spud's 167 seconds. But not only that, James's response, I thought, was going to rival Donald Trump in one of his talk-off fests.
That's what we want, BT. We want the in-depth stuff, none of this sort of cliche.
He's an interesting character, isn't he?
Jimmy Kelly?
Yeah.
Well, if anyone's going to get a smile out of John Worsfold around the change rooms, it's going to be James Kelly. That's in part why they brought him in, not only for his experience, but his ability to keep the mood jovial around the change rooms. And, of course, he was a prankster at Geelong and already lined up or stitched up a couple of the Essendon guys, I believe him and Ryan Crowley. So you just look at the work with Martin Gleeson in the back line, McDonald Tippenwoody also. He's apparently playing... He's been quite pivotal behind the scenes, Schwatto, in terms of his experience and developing the young guy. So well done to him.
So, Swatter, we continue to see large glimpses of the Duck's new life and the way he's trying to portray himself.
He's back.
He's back. He's and back. During the break then, our listeners wouldn't have seen what went on, but he went out the back to grab himself a cool drink.
Beverage.
And he saw a young fella out there, maybe. How old, Duck?
Oh, he looks about 10, I suppose.
Had a Hawthorn jumper on, number 15 on the back. Why wouldn't you have the skipper on the
Hodgie,
back?
Hodgie, love him.
By the way, he's coming up very shortly on Triple M Football, Luke Hodge. So he's in the media area.
Yeah.
Luke Hodge, obviously, and a young kid out there. Duck walks up to him and says, young fella, come over here, mate. I'm the Duck. I'm the king.
Yes. Oh, you idiot.
But... Yep. If you want to meet the captain of Hawthorn, he's just in that box. He's coming to our box. What about you meet him?
What did the kid say?
The kid said, he's my dad. He's my dad. He said he's my dad, King Duck.
Bugger off, my name's Cooper.
It was at sort of went a little bit like that. It was quite funny. I thought I'll do the right thing by this young kid and just say that, you know, Hodgie's coming up in a minute. I'm sure he'll sign your jumper for you. And he goes, that's my dad. And I said, well, you know him better than me then.
Actually, that's pretty embarrassing.
It is.
That is. That is a great story for show and tell at school tomorrow.
Yep.
But given there's no school, hold it off for a while. Essendon defeated Melbourne yesterday. We just spoke with James Kelly, who was delighted with the Bombers' win. I was delighted with the win. I put them down to win three or four games this year. There's one away already. Gents, what do we make? What do we make of the Demons, Duck?
Oh, look, you can only put it down to attitude, and you know, came to the game not prepared. You know, maybe got it carried away with themselves after what was really, you know, just a win last week against GWS. Only played two quarters, ran over the top of them in the last quarter. So how you could come to a game against the side that you're expected to beat, who have had limited preparation, so they've done half a pre-season, and think that you're just going to win when you're not a good team yet, is just beyond me. So it's all attitude for me, BT. So for me, that is an absolute... shocker. That's one of the worst losses I've seen Melbourne have, and obviously we've seen a lot of them over the last three or four years.
Paul Ruse had this to say after the game.
Some of them possibly, I mean, some of them would have gone in possibly thinking, you know, this is going to be an easy game. I think some of them were tired. But yeah, look, I don't think he's far off the mark. I think there's some of them that probably would have turned up today thinking it's a pretty easy day at the office, and we know AFL footy can certainly... bite you on the backside.
And it did just that.
Yeah, it does. And look, and that's it's a part of being a young team, but I guess, you know, I look at the Bulldogs and I look at other teams, and it's just beyond me when you've had so much time near the bottom of the ladder and you've been building for so long and you've gone and got Paul Roos, the great coach, and, you know, you've got all of these people around, you're building the club. It just astounds me that their attitude and their application can be so wayward, Swatter.
Were there any standout culprits, do you reckon?
Oh, look, I think it was across the board. No. I thought Lumumba tried hard.
Roosie spoke after the game.
McDonald was absolutely smashed. He got flogged by Joe Danaher. Jesse Hogan, who was only a young player himself, but I can't say what these guys were thinking. But I get the feeling that maybe McDonald probably says, "Oh, I'm on young Joe Danaher. Ball's not going to come in 50 too often. It's not going to come down too nice. I'm going to have a nice day." Jesse Hogan probably, there's a lot of talk about how good he is, and he's a very good young player. He's going to have inconsistencies.
Who did he line up on?
There's no doubt Gwilt. There's no doubt. Now, Gwilt's a reject from another club. He ends up at the Bombers. He's been there for a cup, but maybe looked across and thought, "I'm on Gwilty today. Happy days."
Did you ever do that?
The sun's shining. The birds are chirping.
Who did you look across and go, "The birds are chirping today"?
There were a few, BT. Hello
to Daryl and Shane.
But funnily enough, BT, when you went in with that attitude, whenever you thought, Swatter, you had this game beaten, and if you, underestimated an opponent, every single time, exactly what Paul Roos said, you got sat on your backside, because it doesn't matter. These guys are playing AFL footy. They are all capable on their day. And if you don't prepare mentally, you will get beaten.
So did Paul Roos err by pumping up the NAB Cup 4 weeks form that they had coming into the season? And he even referred to that again yesterday, that we'd had a good 4 weeks, but they'd had a good 4 weeks of practice footy.
Yeah, true. I'm sure Roosy, like the rest of the coaching staff, would be just scratching their head saying, "Well, you know, how can you do this?" And only the players as individuals and as a collective know themselves how they went about preparing and whether they got ahead of themselves or not.
Well, the last five games, Melbourne has been favourite with the bookies. They have lost four of them. So when they are expected to win, Duck, and this backs up exactly what you're saying, they lose. Six of their seven wins last year were as outsiders. So I think they like it when the pressure, the expectation's not on them. They're hunting. But when they are the hunted like they were yesterday, there are real question marks. And this is being noted within the Melbourne coaching box.
And the other thing, BT, when you're a good team, you can sometimes come in and maybe go, "Okay, we don't have to." You know, I'm sure Hawthorn have done it over the last few years. And I thought after half time, you know what, they'd recheck, they'd get in, reevaluate, come out, Swatter, and go bang. They're not a good team. Mm. They can't do that. They can't just switch it on like other teams. They did it against GWS the week before they got out of jail and pinched that win. They thought they were just going to do the same, and they weren't capable of doing it.
Duck, what about Jesse Hogan, back on him for a second? What about his body language? He seems to me to be someone who gets easily frustrated. There's that demonstrative sort of pointing fingers. Matthew Richardson used to do it a bit at his teammates when he's not happy with the service. So he was no good for three quarters last week and pretty poor again yesterday. How do you think he sort of carries himself?
Because I don't think that's a concern at this early stage in his career. Like you said, he probably had the same body language last week, and he was able to turn that around in the last quarter and kicked three goals. He had the same body language yesterday. I guess if it becomes an issue, if it keeps going that way, then you say it's a concern. At this stage, I'm not too concerned about his body language. It shows that he, you know, sometimes it's not a great look, but it shows how much it hurts.
Well, interestingly, on the contract side of things, and we're closely monitoring this with Jesse Hogan, he's out next year. Carl Langdon is very close to things with West Coast and Fremantle in the West, said this week that it is a fait accompli that he's going back to Perth, specifically Fremantle, at the end of the year. He said 100% lock it in, Jesse Hogan is leaving.
But he signed
Melbourne
for another two.
Well, he can leave at the end of the year. He can break his contract. Yeah, so he comes out the end of next year, but he can still request a trade at the end of the year, as Tom Boyd did.
Yeah, he can request a trade, but if Melbourne say you're not going anywhere, he's not going anywhere.
And that's what GWS did with Cam McCarthy this year, and he's not playing. It's interesting he said that so strongly.
How many of the modern-day players have handled putting off contract talks and playing good football? Dangerfield had a great year last year.
Yeah.
What was Abbott's last year at Geelong like?
It was still pretty
solid.
There
haven't been many players that have put contract talks off, and I'm talking experienced players. Travis Cloak was one that put contract talks off, and it affected him. Most players don't still, seem to cope with it, and Jesse is one.
Has he still put it off?
Hey, listen. That's a good point. listen, you only put, in my book, there's only one tactic or reason for putting contract talks off. And that is that you're more on the side of leaving than staying. Hmm. And that is the otherwise, for the reason you just gave, because it affects you, and you knew you were going to stay, you'd get on with it and sign.
No, BT, but he's got 2 years to run. So that this isn't the case for Jesse.
Well, Melbourne are trying to stitch him up.
Carl's got that wrong. I mean, how do you all of a sudden place importance in what Carl Langdon says?
Well, I just bobbed up. He's an authority voice over in the West, in the radio and the newspapers over there.
So he's a source.
I just thought he was interesting that he was fait accompli, that he was so strong on it. And even I believe that at some point Jesse Hogan will go back. I didn't think it'd be this contract, but I think at some point he will go home. There has been those rumblings.
To me, it's more likely to be early than late.
If you were Jesse Hogan, would you stay or would you be keen to get out?
On the first bus back.
Yep.
Take the Greyhound bus.
Yep.
I wouldn't even worry about flying.
You wouldn't see the potential in the Melbourne side? Well, Fremantle.
Off the back of how they played yesterday.
Where is the potential?
Well, they're March champions, as Duck just said before.
No, but doesn't that reinforce how much of a low base that they are coming from, that they have made a big point on reinforcing their form during the NAB Cup?
Mm.
Yep. All of the, or any good work that was achieved last week has been erased in four quarters yesterday.
North Melbourne in Tassie next week, the Bunsen burner will be on the Demons, boys. Don't worry about that.
Look, I think the Demons will probably go close to levelling the ledger, 11. They might win 10, 11 games this year. Yeah, they could win 10 or 11 games this year. I think they'll be up and down. They've got young players as well. But I just can't see the day that they're going to be a power team for me. And I know Mickey Roberts hasn't got Adam Simpson, the coach, just yet, but he will in a minute. But this is a great opportunity to say hello to Mickey, who's boundary side at the moment, back on Triple M Football. Mickey Roberts, welcome to you.
BT, how are you? And I'm actually standing on the green stuff. And as you can see, BT, and I reckon you're pretty interested, there's about 200 women doing yoga on the southern side of the MCG. It's a real female situation over there.
It is indeed. And, of course, females
I should be over there.
Very much part of our game, Robbo.
I know that, BT.
By the way, update on the, you'd be all over this, the Bells. Who won Bells? It was between Geordie Smith and the Australian Wilco.
Yeah.
Joel.
Who won? You don't know.
Don't know.
All right, so Robbo's down there, and he's got the finger right on the pulse, as you can see. let us know when you've got the coach, Adam Simpson. There, Robbo.
I will, BT. We've just. I'm not worried about the surfing. I'm actually worried about getting the hold of the coach of the West Coast Eagles, and he's actually walking towards me as we speak. So hang on 1 second.
You just get the headphones on him, Robbo. We'll patch it up for you, and he's just going to whack these on. So Adam Simpson, coach of the West Coast Eagles, and here he is with Michael Roberts. Take it away, Robbo.
Beautiful timing, BT, and Adam coming up from out of the bunker there. I was at a function with L. Clarkson and sat at the table with him. His conversation with me was the fact that they don't lose two in a row, Hawthorn. He had this steely look and conversation about him. You know him. They're up and about, but you've got him without Hodge, Hill, Shields, Roughhead. They're all out, but fantastic challenge for West Coast.
It is a big challenge for us, and they're missing some players. We're missing some too. We're not really focusing on who's out. I'm having a guess here, but I would assume there's probably still 17-odd premiership players in the side, and we have none. So it's still a massive challenge to play here on their deck and, get them on the rebound as well. So we're not anticipating a walk in the park today.
One man that I'm interested in, a massive in, is his first game is Lewis Jetta. Really keen to see how his calf holds up in the open spaces of the MCG.
Yeah, look, it's a bit of a risk. It's a calculated risk, though. He hasn't missed a beat with pre-season up until he hurt that calf. So, look, this is the reason why we got him to the club, for games on bigger grounds like this, and his ability to run and carry and break the lines. And you only got to look at the games over the weekend. It's sort of a bit of a trend, isn't it, the speed and the run and carry. So hopefully we can get him the ball when he can contribute for us.
You don't play a lot of games on this ground, Adam, and I noticed all the guys out there in the middle of the square just sort of familiarising themselves and having a really good look at the surrounds. Important for them, isn't it?
Oh, it's just so hard to emulate over it in the West. We can chop the ground up a little bit so it feels like we're playing on the G at Subi, but It's really difficult. We've found a couple of grounds around town that we can train on over pre-season. We've done that, so we've prepared our best in our best way. But until you get here and have a good look around, it's really hard to emulate.
Adam, it's Jake Clark here. I'm interested in that defensive structure of yours, the Weagles web, which was so successful last year with McKenzie back in off the knee. How much have you tweaked or changed that? Are you playing the same defensive way, or are you coming up with something new for this season?
Well, that's a good question. It's something we had to go to last year through circumstance, and it really worked well for us. And the game, how it was played at that stage, it suited. I think the game's changing slightly. It will settle as the weeks go by. So, it's all about pressure for us. If we can get good pressure, then our defenders can be more assertive. If we don't have the pressure, like last time we played here, we look a bit silly. So we've adapted a few things with Eric. And I think the game's going to tell us we're going to have to adapt a few things as the season goes.
Simo, have you got any Dennis Pagan in your coaching repertoire at all?
Look, I've dropped a couple of, don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining. It's been dropped a couple of times.
Okay, if you've got a little bit in you, then you must have. Has there been any mention of the grand final, any talk about how you performed on that day? Has that been any motivating force at all?
It hasn't been motivating. I can't remember when we lost back in the day, Duck, Dennis bringing it up before the next time we played Adelaide. It was at the MCG. I do remember the game. We had a good win, but I don't remember Dennis bringing it up as motivation. And to be honest, I think the players just being here on the same ground and being in the same rooms, nothing really needs to be said. And it's not about redemption. It's about, round two. So if we can get a good performance today and play at our best and give ourselves every chance, then, that'd be good for me.
So, Simo, what did you actually walk away from the grand final and acknowledge that this is the key area that we need to improve in order to make sure that we give ourselves a chance to get through the home and away and hopefully get back to where we were last year?
Well, it's a long road back. And reflecting on the game, we were on a bit of a journey last year, on a bit of a ride, and we played pretty much the same way every week, and we backed our system in. The grand final in itself, we played an experienced, a lot of players have played in 3 or 4 grand finals in a row, and the occasion did get to some of our players, there's no doubt about that too. So I think a combination of all things with the occasion, the opposition, and we just didn't do the basics very well. So it's hard to get your game plan going when you don't use the ball or don't get the ball. And I want to overplay that day, but we did have to tweak a couple of things.
Plentiful scoring, Simo. Is it here to stay, do you think?
Well, we'd like to score and stop them from scoring, so I hope not. Excuse me. We conceded over 100 points last week against a really attacking Brisbane, and it looks like it's their mantra this year. And I don't think they're alone. There's a lot of clubs who will sacrifice some scores to score themselves, and until that attitude changes, I think you will see high scoring.
Simo, just before our show started, BT brought in a box of fruit. Well, Wayne Carey lifted up his shirt. We saw a magnificent six-pack, very finely sculpted. We're talking about Jeremy McGovern before, because he doesn't seem like he's a fellow who's going to win any bodybuilding competitions.
potentially may not be the hardest worker on the track.
But he's a guy who just lifts magnificently on the field. How do you go with Jeremy and pushing and pulling his buttons to get the best out of him?
Sorry, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. I have said he's a lot like Duck. That is the one area that's probably not similar, is the rig. But he's got one of those bodies that he's not, I wouldn't call him a responder in the gym, but he's strong. He's strong, and he can run out games. And our focus at the moment is to get his body through a game with the collision injuries he puts himself into. So he seems to get around it. It's not through lack of trying, though. It's not like he just ticks a box in the gym. He does everything he can, and he's just not a responder.
Appreciate the time, Simo.
Just a quick one, Simo. Yeah. You still there?
Yes, mate.
Yeah, still in.
No, just a quick one. Last year, there were a couple of occasions in the grand final where handball should have been given, where the first option should have been given. Has that been one of the areas that you want to tighten up on and has been discussed for this year?
Oh, look, I think we're pretty good at that normally, making the right decision around the ball. And once again, it's probably a victim of the occasion and also the pressure that the Hawks put on us. So, we're not bulletproof in that area. And if we don't make the right decisions with the ball, they are the best side at making you hurt off a turnover. And that's what we gave them in the granny, and that's what we can't give them today.
Thanks, Simo. Good luck.
Cheers, boys.
Adam Simpson with Mickey Roberts downstairs there. Big day today. Hawthorn and West Coast at the MCG. Beautiful track. Let's go around the grounds, TAC.
Devin Smith just kicked the goal, BT. It's the Giants by 1 point over the Cats up there at Spotless Stadium. Start of the second quarter.
He was in a good mood, wasn't he, Simo?
Yep.
Up and about.
Yep.
He's happy. Sometimes you've just got to throw a nice little fluffy question in there, BT. Yeah, just loosen
a little half folly.
So loosen them up.
So Duck claiming the joviality in that.
Yep.
I think I might have got a little bit of a laugh.
You're going to bring your fruit box back in again, BT?
Mate, I'll bring my fruit box in when you go and talk to Hodgie's son again. Hello, young fella. You want to meet Luke Hodge? I know him. I can introduce you to him. Well, sorry, King Duck. He happens to be my dad. Yeah.
So we'll have
that's going to be one of the great stuff-ups of all time.
So we're going to talk to Luke Hodge and maybe even get Connor Hodge on to have a chat about his introduction to Wayne Carey.
It was interesting today, Jay-Z, because Duck introduced him to the first ever kid that he's met. He hasn't had a lot to do with kids over the years.
I've got two of my own.
It happened to be Hodgie's boy out the back here and made a bit of a dilly of himself. So we welcome Luke Hodge now. Welcome to you, Hodgie.
G'day, guys. How you going?
When your son came up to you and said, this big sort of guy has just said, do I want to meet Luke Hodge? What did you have a bit of a giggle?
I did laugh. I was actually down with in the rooms having a kick with Coop, and he didn't want to kick with me, you want to kick with Jack Gunston, so I think he's sick of me anyway. So, but Doug, thanks for introducing me to my son. That was good.
Now, mate, we all want to know how did the operation go? You look it looks all right from here.
Yeah, it's put up really good.
Shaking hands with the right hand. So.
Yeah, it's a lot better than I thought. Mind you, I've never broken an arm before, but as far as movement. It's just more the tenderness getting hit, and obviously the rotation as well is probably the only thing that's sort of annoying it at this stage.
So how long did it take after the operation before they had you back out running?
Had the operation at 2:30 Tuesday, and I ran Thursday morning.
Wow.
So that's the only bad thing about breaking an arm is you can still do all the running. So, and I'm not a fan of running, but look, it's good to still when you get back out there, at least you've got the fitness up and you're able to have an impact that way.
Hodgie, did you know it was broken when the incident happened against the Cats last weekend?
Straight away, I thought it was just a corky because the wrist felt okay, wrist felt stable, the elbow felt okay. And then as I sort of went to move it a bit, it sort of started wobbling a little bit and you could sort of feel the bone. So I realised after a couple of minutes when I went to go for another contest and got hit that it was pretty sore that I thought I'd better go off. And then as soon as your adrenaline sort of stops, you sit on the bench, the doctor starts twisting it. It started to hurt a fair bit. So we realised that there was something that wasn't right about it.
Well, how do you respond to people suggesting that maybe the Hawks are starting to tail off, Hodgie, now that you've got some significant injuries? Maybe this is a competition's opportunity to seize.
We've heard that a number of times throughout the last couple of years. If you look mid-2014, we had Cyril, Gibbo, Mitch and Lakey all go down for long periods of time. And we had a lot of younger guys that took their chance and played some really good football. And look, today's no different. And for the next 6-8 weeks until Ruffy comes back, Liam Shields, Hilly and myself, we've got a lot of younger guys that are getting their opportunity. And they've been in our system for the last 4 or 5 years, playing Box Hill, understanding the way we want to go. So it's actually exciting to see if they take the opportunity.
Has Clarko touched on that already, that you guys are being challenged? Has he brought up that external question mark that's on you guys now?
Not really. He's always... If someone misses, he doesn't really care. His responsibility comes on the next person coming in. So if we've got one out, two out, or a few, it doesn't really faze Clarko. He'll put someone into position and expect them to play the same as what the previous person did.
He is the sort of coach, though, that... I'll use the word mind games. He likes to challenge you, and there was talk that before this season, and I heard you on the footy show, I reckon, a week or so ago, say that he got you in and said, you know, you are at the end, you're coming towards the end of your career. You're closer to the end than you are the start. So you're one bad injury, or you just never know when you might get an opportunity to play in another flag. Is he a guy that likes to put those little things in players' minds?
I guess anyone who's been coached by the same person for a long time, Clarko understands him pretty well, so he sort of knows what
buttons to push.
Yeah, exactly right. And there's certain players that you hit those buttons and it gets a good response. And I guess there's other players that you might have to go more the cuddling style. So that's one good thing about Clarko. He understands his players. He knows sort of what buttons to push. So it's not the same for everyone. He'll chop and change it for each individual case.
You're still enjoying the game, Hodgie? You've been around for a long time. Do you like the modern game? Is there a period that you prefer more?
I do. I still love the game. I think it's been definitely exciting, the first, I guess, couple of rounds with the high scores. I think it's great to see the big full forwards. Hopefully Josh Kennedy doesn't do what he did last week. But I think that's what the fans want to see. They want to see high-scoring games. If you look at a team like the Bulldogs, how can't you not love watching them play? We've got them next week as well. So, but as far as passion for the game, still love it. I guess meetings and all that stuff, that's probably one thing that sort of plays on you, where, yeah, because we've got so many young guys and so many new guys coming into the football club, you've sort of heard the story. You've been in the game plan meeting so many times, where you sort of, that can play on your mind a little bit. But as far as getting out there training, playing with your mates, and I guess playing out in the MCG in front of all your supporters, it's nothing better.
Enjoy the game, Swatter. They've won the last three flags. Hawthy's bloody enjoying the game. What sort of... He's loving it.
Who's the most boring guy at Hawthorn, Hodgie? Like, in our team, it's probably Jay-Z by a by a snitch over Swatter. But who's the most boring guy at Hawthorn? Is it Mitch or who is it?
No, Mitch has got a bit of life, the older he's got. He still talks about football at every opportunity he can, but it's hard to say. You've got to go to the ruck when the taller blokes are normally the boring ones. McAvoy is a good old country boy, but just very straight down the line and a good honest teammate.
Is Mitch still sleeping in a hotel the night before games? Like tonight, for example, did he sleep at the Langham last night? Because
that's pretty
weird.
I think that only happened for probably half a year, because they did have... I think their twin girls were born a week before Smith was one. So they had three under one for a week. And I think anyone would use that excuse to go and stay. So, but he'd go and stay the night, but then he'd wake up at 8 o'clock and go straight back and help look after himself, just so he had that good night's sleep. But I think a lot of the other players have tried to use that excuse and haven't gotten away with it.
Do you feel the game's changing, Hodgie? Like, you know, we've watched games this year, and we just spoke to Simo about it down there, and he says, yeah, it looks like it's a little bit more, you know, in the scoring end of things than the defensive end of things. Do you feel like it's changing significantly this year, where you're going to have to readjust your thinking?
I think you always do, because teams find ways to beat you. I think if you look back at 05-06, it was more of the defensive zone, the low scoring.
Yep.
If you look at the Sydney West Coast Grand Finals, which they were great battles, but I think they scored anywhere from 60 to 80 points.
Yeah.
Whereas, as I said to Swatter before about how exciting the game is, seeing teams that they'll turn around and see a one-on-one and be happy to kick it to them now, where in the past it was find a safer option to hit someone who's by himself.
Yeah.
Teams are taking more risk, which... Eventually, yeah, teams are scoring high scores.
Hodgie, we were talking earlier about Trent Cotchin and leadership at Richmond, etc. Do you ever get phone calls from any of the other younger captains, or do you ever bounce off the other guys? So they come asking you about, you know, their own leadership, etc.?
Not really. I think because there's so many people in coaches and people that have played before that I guess younger captains will go and normally speak to an assistant coach who's been in that role. But as far as Koch, I reckon he's getting a hard end. When we played against him last year, I saw a bloke who's not naturally a physical person but come out of himself. And I think for what his team needed, I thought he was putting the team ahead of himself. And I think he's only going to grow and get better as he continues to do it.
I remember that first centre bounce, because he came straight up to you and straight up to Mitch and was in your face and chest bumping you. Were you a little bit surprised at that time?
Well, I think the comment was back to him was, what have you been? Where have you been? but I think that's... I think a captain needs to find out what their team needs at that time. And at that night, definitely, he needed to be more physical. And it's sort of... They end up beating us that night. And and you can sort of see the rest of the team follow him. People have been talking about Jack Riewoldt. He seems like a very good leader on field. But I guess as far as Koch's, mate, he gets voted in because he does everything around the football club that they see. And the people who know the best are the people around the football club.
Sometimes you need your boring types like Jay-Z and myself. You've won three flags. You can get carried away with yourselves from time to time. Not you, but who are those big, real wanker-type blokes in the change rooms, much like your BT.
Yes.
No, I think they bloody own the joint.
No, yes. No. One thing I've found out is you don't go and hang it on those people, because they always get you back. And it's gone the days where there used to be only four or five as do media. Now they get the whole list to do it. So if you do pot someone, they're going to get you back within the next week or two.
Is that the sort of club that you are, like your leadership group? And I'll bring up Sean May. He's a bit of a whipping boy amongst some in the media.
Yep.
Is he a guy, Hodgie, that you as captain and the other leaders get around and let him know, listen, you're playing your role, don't be too concerned? He had a quiet day last week, but he had a good finish to last year, obviously.
I think there was a St Kilda game last year where he didn't have a huge, I guess, impact as far as disposal, but he did the team things.
Yep.
And he got pumped up that week from all the players and from the coaches by, it's not so much in today's game about disposals, marks, this and that. It's about what you can do to help benefit the side. And Shuey, yeah, he was a whipping boy early. He was playing 20 kilos smaller than the other big forwards. And he got drafted as a centre forward, the role he's been playing the last probably half a year. So, look, as a player like that, that's the blokes who you've got to get around because they're playing the team role. And the media and sometimes the supporters out there give him a hard time. But he's got to understand that the players love what he does for the football. And that's why he played the grand final last year.
Hey, Shawnee Burgoyne will play game number 297. Injuries aside, he'll play game 300 in three more weeks. Where do you rate him?
He's someone who, in big occasions, who's going to step up. You know Shawnee Burgoyne is always going to be there. I used to hate playing against him. I remember still here at the MCG back in 2003. I was in the forward line, he was in the back line, and I had to chase him the whole way down the wing while he was bouncing the ball, looking at me. Up until the time where he came to Hawthorn, he was one of the best midfielders, and then he's been able to just to slip into the back line and be physical. He sets a play up from behind, but then you look at the prelim again in 2013 against Geelong where he got pushed, I think it was the last quarter, kicked two goals, pretty much turned the game with Mitch. And then in any big game, you know that Sean is going to be the one man who's going to stand up and play his role.
Hodgie, last thing quickly, if Joe Watson loses Brownlow and Sam Mitchell gets it, how will that sit with you?
Oh, it's hard to say. You sort of don't want to be stripping it off Joe. I know you speak to Mitch, whatever happens in the past happened and he can't really do much about it. All he's worried about is what he can handle at this stage. So whatever happens with that, I don't think the players are too fussed about.
Always probing for an angle, Jay-Z. Aren't you? Always an angle.
Just asking. You know, it would be a great shame for most of us to see Joe lose the Brownlow, but then it's one of your teammates.
Would you accept it? Would you accept it if you were...
Well, I'm not in that position, so it's sort of hard.
The trophy cabinet's already full.
I guess if you look at one way, it's hard to say.
Look, Hodgie definitely accept it because he's always suspended.
It's a hard one because as far as you don't really know what the inner sanctum with Essendon, what happened there, you still, I've sort of, from about the 6 month stage, I stopped reading the papers and stopped listening to it. So, look, if the AFL gives it to them, then I think they've got to accept it. But I don't think Mitch or Koch are holding their breath to receive it. I think they're worried about what they can do now. That was 3 or 4 years ago, and I guess it's in the past.
Appreciate your time, Hodgie. Back in 3 or 4 weeks, I guess.
Yep, cheers, thanks.
Absolutely spectacular day at the MCG today, and it's going to be a cracker of a game. Two quality sides. We're going to find out a little bit about where footy's going this year when we see these two sides to play today, particularly with regards to Hawthorn and their injuries at the moment. Is it going to affect the start of their season to the point where they've lose multiple games?
Well, there's only one team in the last 20 years that have been 0-2 and won the grand final. And that was way back in 99, BT.
Oh, no. Duck's made it about himself again.
No, I haven't. I'm just saying that it is very difficult to do, to go 0-2 and then win the premiership.
Is it over, BT, the Hawthorn reign? Can they win it this year, do you think?
Oh, they can win it this year easily.
I thought Hodgie's answer was a good one when we posed it about the injuries a couple of years ago. Cyril, Gibson, Mitchell and Lake were out and they still won.
Do they still have that depth? Got rid of quite a few players, brought in some young guys who perhaps aren't as ready as what the depth was that they had.
We'll find out a bit about that today, won't we? Yep.
Howe's in. Segler's back. It'll be interesting. I think the West Coast are good things today, but anyway.
Tell me something I don't know coming up very, very shortly. Get it ready.
We'll get a farm update too.
I believe Swatter and Duck are loaded, and we'll get a farm update from the Duck as well. Just see whether that crop he's planted is growing through the rocks. But first of all, let's talk about coaches this year and what's going on, Jay-Z. Where are you going with this?
Alistair Clarkson won't sign a new deal today, but it will be announced in the next 2 weeks that he will be committing to the Hawthorn Football Club until at least the end of 2019. All the details have been agreed in principle, and it's literally just a time for the club to announce it, probably in the next week or two. Now, this is...
Are contracts like that likely to be subject to meeting certain levels along the way?
Well, I don't think for Clarkson. I think he just sets his own agenda in terms of
pretty
that.
Sure he's met the levels along the way.
Yeah, just the three Premiership Cups.
As good as your last game.
Now, I like this from the Hawks because it not only secures the best coach in the land, but it also is going to help oversee this transition period that we're talking about, because there will be a few challenges for the Hawks as these greats of the game retire. And his challenge now, Clarko, is bringing in these young guys and overseeing them from one Premiership era and trying to set them up into another. And
well,
that would just...
their VFL team are getting smashed, by the way, in recent...
Well, they haven't had the top picks in recent years, have they? I mean, they've relied on these other players from recycled clubs, and we know they're into Jager O'Meara, possibly from Gold Coast, at the end of this year. But to me, it's a smart move from the Hawks, and will help preserve that legacy.
They've done it better than anyone.
Yeah, well, I think it's smart from the top teams. So I think, like, the top two or three teams in the competition, yeah, go your hardest, sign your coaches, because they're obviously doing a great job for you. But beyond that, I think they should do what Collingwood have done. I think it's a very smart thing what Gary Pert and the team at Collingwood have done. They're just rolling Buckley's over year by year, basically. Maybe a two-year sort of leeway, but basically roll it over each year. And I think that's the way to go. Why else would you sign, you know, coaches in the middle to the bottom of the ladder? No one's going to get them.
Like Hardwick?
Yeah.
You don't think the Tigers have done the right thing there by stitching him up for another couple of years?
No, I just think roll them over a year at a time. Why would you bother giving them, you know, five-year deals? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, if they've had a long term, 3 or 4 years, I agree with you, BT. I don't think that after that initial 3 or 4 years, you don't re-sign them with a year to go, for instance, to give them another 3 years on top of that.
You and get your 5 years to start.
That's right. And I think what Collingwood have done with Buckley, and I think most certainly Hardwick deserved his two-year extension, and most certainly Alistair Clarkson deserves, if they signed him to 2025, you wouldn't be complaining. I mean, he deserves that, and I don't think anyone would argue.
Well, the interesting ones have been Brenton Sanderson, who was flicked with 2 years to go, and I think Brendan McCartney had another 2 years on his...
They're the ones that are just poor decisions.
Yeah, and that's the wastage in the AFL circle that Gillon McLachlan and these guys are banging out about. The costs in football clubs that they can avoid by making possibly a shorter-term decision.
Things can change really quickly. Let me give you a really recent example. Like, today or last night, Ross Lyon is signed to 2020. Mm. Fremantle, not going well at the moment.
Nope. Zero and two.
And there's question marks as to whether they can pull themselves out of this because of the way that they play. That's what I'm talking about, signing coaches long term. So even if it is Alistair Clarkson, or if it's Ross Lyon, who I regard as a top coach right now, he signed till 2020. See, what happens in 5 weeks' time if they're 0-5?
So you've got a question mark on that decision. Fremantle should have made that a shorter-term deal.
I'm just wondering, if no one's going after these coaches and they're not being snavelled by anyone else...
No, but Ross would be snavelled.
You think?
Well, you just said yourself. Everyone knows he's a great coach.
Yeah.
He got snavelled off St Kilda because of the same reason. They want to secure him. They want him to go through this next phase. And I don't think it's a rebuild with Fremantle. I certainly still think they can make the eight and maybe do some damage. But they want to... putting faith in him to say, yes, we know we can't win the Premiership, but after this amount of time, we want you to deliver. And even he said, if they don't deliver a Premiership by 2020... then he will consider his tenure there a failure.
Well, what about Mick Malthouse?
Is he a great coach?
Ross?
Yeah.
Yes, I think he's
a great coach.
Well, he's got an enormously successful home and away record. Yes, he hasn't won a Premiership.
How many flags do you win in the home and away?
Zero.
Yep. They were, three games better off at the end of the home and away last year?
Yep.
Yep. Faltered. Not off to a good start.
No, he needs to...
I reckon if you can consistently make finals, and particularly top four, I reckon you...
Yep.
I think if you make
your squads, teams better than what they are, then you're a great coach.
This is Ross Lyon's, I think it's either his 10th or 11th year. In those 10 or 11 years, he's only missed the finals on one occasion.
Mm.
So it's pretty good.
He's a super coach. I reckon he's an absolute super coach. I mean, he's a very robust operator, and he doesn't tolerate fools, etc. And that puts noses out of joints within his playing ranks, within his coaching staff. He's had a really high turnover at St Kilda and Fremantle. But you know, I think that's just part and parcel. He's very high demands. But Mick Malthouse last year, guys, I mean, he was out of contract, and even he admitted he was half-cooked before he even started the year because he said the club wouldn't extend his contract, and we were talking about it every week. So it does put them, you know, a noose around their neck almost if they are left out on the shelf. And that's why Brisbane signed up Justin Lepich a month ago to avoid some of that public scrutiny, take the pressure off a bit.
So you guys were going to, and when I say you guys, I mean the journos were going to, the proper journos in town were going to eat Collingwood, weren't they, unless Buckley was put away for a year?
Well, I think there was a part of it, yeah. I think if they started the season...
You're looking for blood, and then this is the way it goes.
Not me personally. Yep.
They look for blood, and they hunt until they put a dagger in, the blood dribbles down, and then when the guy falls over and he's about to die, in other words, he's about to get the sack, they go, gee, wasn't he a great coach? Oh, gee, what a great bloke. They do the old follow-up Robbo type story, footy show style, and pretend they have nothing to do with it.
Copping the blows today, boys, aren't I? What are you going to stand up and defend me at some
point? You're boring.
Hey, what about Fremantle, BT? Are they Cactus? Are they cooked? Have you put a line through them as a premiership contender after a very disappointing loss to
Gold Coast?
No, I haven't, but I'm worried about them.
Slow? Speed?
Oh, just scoring. Just scoring.
I'll tell you what you can do. 2 weeks ago...
And where's it going to come from?
Well, 2 weeks ago, you can sit there, and I think we all agreed that there was 13 teams that could play finals footy. Do we all agree with that?
Mm.
13 team, maybe even 14 if you throw Melbourne in there and everything went right for them.
At a stretch.
I think now, after round two, and we're yet to... Round two's not quite finished, but I reckon I can almost say now, in terms of premiership, put a line through Collingwood, put a line through Richmond, put a line through Fremantle. So all of a sudden, I think you can start to put a line through sides that can win the premiership. And I'm talking...
Are you serious about those teams you mentioned? Put a line
they
through?
They can't win the premiership.
They can't win it.
Have you watched Collingwood and Richmond the last first 2 weeks?
So who were they? Collingwood, Richmond?
Collingwood, Richmond, Fremantle can't win the grand final.
Wow.
I'm not saying that Richmond and Fremantle and Collingwood can't play finals or make the eight, but they cannot win the premiership.
If Freo happened to miss the finals this year, would those that made the decision to extend the five-year contract start to question the decision, Freo?
No, I think Ross has got enough credits in the bank. I think you look at other decisions like, should Pavlich have stayed on? Should they have recruited Harley Bunnell? Did they get too old? I think maybe you look at more of the player stuff. I think you have Ross in your coach's box.
He's a hard taskmaster on his coaches, but I wonder whether or not that's starting to wear on some of the players that have been under him for the last few years.
I think you know something, Schrotter.
What do you mean? I just posed the question.
I think you might be right. I think
that's
he is
an old myth.
What do you think, BT?
That's been around for years.
Do you think there's a bit of Ross lying in BT sometimes, Schrotter, when he walks in here?
He's just a troublemaker.
Time now for Tell Me Something I Don't Know, boys.
Well, you've got to give me a bit of warning.
Oh.
I'll tell you something I don't know.
Well, hang on. No, I want you to think about it. I don't want you to give me a half-baked idea.
Okay.
Just have a little thinkies. Mm-hmm. Tell Me Something I Don't Know as we go to Jay-Z.
The Bulldogs are on a roll, fellas, and this week there will be
Tell Me Something I Don't Know?
Yeah. There's some more good news on the contractual front with one of their young stars. So Stringer, McRae, Bontempelli already signed up. Just brace yourself for another contractual bombshell down at the kennel.
All right.
Bombshell.
All right.
Bombshell.
Rubbo.
You should know this, BT. It comes out of the Collingwood camp.
Yeah.
And with all the gambling and whatever for clubs to raise a lot of money, Collingwood are going to find a way to make more money in a different area, and it'll affect a lot of clubs. Just leave it at that.
Cryptic one. Swatter.
Off-season wedding.
Yeah.
Melbourne-based team.
Off-season wedding.
Just before the season started.
Yeah.
Only 7 teammates invited from a list of 40-odd. One Johnny come lately, which may have got the noses of those that have been at this particular football club down the Princess Highway questioning the invitation list.
So Geelong, Joel Selwood? Was it?
Jimmy Bartel.
Who got married?
Jimmy Bartel did.
There's a few. So Paddy Dangerfield didn't get an invite, did he? To
Tom Hawkins.
Hawkins
so far. 12 positions in the game against GWS, of course. The Giants leading by 15 points.
There's
at
another, another upset brewing there. I'll tell you something you don't know.
Yes, what?
GWS might win.
He's got nothing.
What do you got, Duck?
What's your best Adam Simpson story?
No, best Simo story. Actually, Simo, I'll tell you something you don't know about Adam Simpson.
Yeah,
he was and it was good to have Luke Hodge in here. Simo was the most relaxed. Now, you think Simo's a bit of a straight shooter, a bit of a
straighty 180.
BT, straighty 180.
Oh, he was a Toyota Tour man, regular, and he had a good time.
He was one of the most relaxed football. It was like before a game, he would be singing. So he'd be mucking around, very jovial, very relaxed before a game. And, you know, for a guy that people think would take his footy really, really serious, was one that liked a good time and also performed.
I'll tell you something
that's
you don't
not
know.
Really that thrilling, but
no, I didn't think it was either. But there are some big name superstars that are going to be playing in the EJ Witten's game at the end of the year. We might be sitting in the box here with one of them, or maybe even two.
Are you coming out of retirement, Brian?
And of course, down the road here in another box, there's another one sitting down there in
another
the big
two.
In fact, big Channel 7 boys. Yep. So there you have it. Some big boys will be saddling up for the EJ game this year. It's going to be a proper Legends game this year. They're not going to let in any skankies like Luffy and all these blokes. They're going to have real legends.
So you have to be a Coleman medalist to be invited back.
It is going to be, because it's in the last week before the final, so there's no footy on. It is going to be a ripper, BT.
All of the stars are here for the All Australian Week.
That's exactly right. And you're right, you'll have all the big names. It will be an EJ Witten Legends game.
Jay-Z, let's reel off some other little bits and pieces as we clean up the Sunday rubbers. Hawthorn come out on the ground for their pre-game warm-up. What have we got in terms of newsy bits?
Well, the media bus is going to be parked down at Richmond this week, I suspect, BT. They've got another big game against Adelaide this weekend, and the injury watch will again be on some of their biggest stars. Now, Deledio still got that quad. I'm tipping him to miss. Very much doubtful. Ruckman, Navan, Marek, he's a test. I think he had a fitness session on Saturday, got through that okay, and pulled up all right.
Jay-Z, just on Deledio, we spoke to him on Friday night footy, and did not seem confident at all. It would not surprise me if Delidio's at least two or three away. Maybe more.
Two or three.
It's the great unknown for him, I think. You could just tell by the look on his face. He just sort of said, I really don't know.
Wow. Well, that will be a blow for them. We know he's so
important. Tell
you
something I don't know, BT.
Well, yeah, that's a good one, Duck. A little late coming up with it, but we'll take it.
But it gets worse, because Dylan Grimes, you know how an important defender he is. He did his hamstring, of course, on Friday night.
Saw him do that.
He's had a wretched history, so he's two or three weeks away at their best. Jacob Townsend has got a rough conduct charge to answer at the MRP. I think he might be fined or get off that. So here's another change that the Tigers may need to make, of course. Eddie Betts normally gets a hold of the Crows, and they take him on. An incident from last night, and you may have seen this, BT. It was Jack Nunes, a behind-the-play hit on Luke Dalhouse of the Bulldogs early in the first quarter, about 40 metres off the ball. I don't think the Bulldogs coaching staff were rapt from this act from Jack, because it did take Luke out of the game for a pretty short period. Behind the play, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets something here, because he did plough into him.
He ran into him because he was looking. He was looking in the opposite direction, and the player in front of him elected not to move. So I don't know. He didn't come into him and bump him. He just elected not to move, and the player that cannoned into him, he wasn't watching where he was going.
Yeah, I don't think the MRP and the AFL like these sorts of incidents when the players are totally unsuspecting.
What are you suggesting, a week?
Well, I think there'll be something. I think there'll be a sanction. If not a fine, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a week. And I don't think the Bulldogs are thrilled with it. Now, Aaron Sanderlands, for our we welcomed our West Australian listeners, he was off late having some medical treatment on his groin. Now, we know how important Sanderlands is to Fremantle's setup, and they are under the pump. So he is a question mark for the Derby this week. They could go Norton 3, of course. The Dockers and Aaron Sanderlands, a big watch there. I think he'll have a light week at best. Port, another club under the pump. Chad Wingard, hamstring issue there. He came off in the last quarter with tightness. Very much in doubt this weekend. And Justin Westhoff also dislocated his finger or hurt his finger yesterday, so he's no certainty either. Just looking ahead to the Dreamtime match, BT, Auntie Joy, who's one of the leaders, she's not a leader, but she's been a symbol of reconciliation and respect and hope for the Indigenous people. So we learned today that she won't be leading the Dreamtime ceremony. Have you got anything to add to this? You're close with the Seven negotiator. Well, this time last year, you were talking about how they were going to revamp the Dreamtime celebrations.
Yeah. Yes.
Have they got back to you about that?
Well, I don't know. I've been in there.
You were going to be the centrepiece.
I've been in there, presented my case, and I've heard nothing back since. And I bet you they come. I bet you we see them on Dreamtime night here. Anyway, only joy's gone, but it's time for a bit of a revamp with the whole Dreamtime game, I reckon. Mm. I love it. The concept is great, but just let's keep it modern and keep it interesting for people.
Your idea that you've got all the Indigenous greats, Goods, Long, etc., up on the boundary line before the Vance, the lights come on, the light comes on. Well, that is, that'd be magic.
That would be absolutely sensational. A dark MCG, and all of a sudden, bang, a light comes on to Michael Long, and then you move on to the next one and the next one, and highlight the Indigenous culture in our game would be absolutely smacking. Any other news for us, Jay-Z?
Petraka and Trengove expect them to play in the VFL again for Melbourne, despite tearing up the VFL at the weekend. I don't think they'll be brought into the Demon side.
That was Jay Clark on Triple M Football with the news, or the newsy bits. Let's now have, it's time for...
This is Wayne Carey's Duck Shoot.
The Duck Shoot. This is a man that's got more segments named after him than any other. Duck's Dozen, the Duck Shoot. What's the Saturday Rub one?
Oh, I don't know, Peter.
It's just, anyway. This is where we fire questions at Wayne Carey. He gives us honest and succinct answers. Duck, what's the main problem with Frio's game plan?
Main problem is they're obviously trying to attack more, therefore they're being scored against. They've obviously tried to do that. You open yourself up to be scored against when you attack more.
Should Pavlich have played on?
Oh, I can answer that probably better at a halfway mark. If you were to answer that right now, you'd say it looks maybe like a mistake.
Do the Crows have the most potent forward line in the AFL?
No.
Was it Gold Coast's best win of their short tenure last night?
Absolutely.
Have you reassessed?
The first time they've ever won in Perth, Gold Coast.
Have you reassessed Essendon and the number of wins they might have this year?
No, because I said they'd win three, BT.
Why did you have the Bulldogs not playing in the eight this year?
I have no idea. I'm stupid.
Does your recently acquired rural property have more rock than dirt on it?
you are a goose.
Have you had a beer with your famous neighbour?
Neighbour, Cam Smith, captain of Australia.
Cameron Smith, no, I haven't, but I might give him a call this week. I hope he takes it.
You could have a barbie out there. There's no chance of bushfire. There's nothing that'll burn. It's a bushfire free zone, Ducks place.
At least I've got a good bloke to have a beer with.
Of your former Kangaroos teammates, Duck, who was the best on the dance floor?
Best on the dance floor? Young Motlop, and also Shannon Grant fancied himself.
Did
on
anyone
the dance
have a
floor.
Particular party trick in those days?
No, not really. What are you alluding to?
Did Schwatter ever get on the dance floor?
Oh, Schwatter was a bit of a lad when he had hair. And then he lost his hair and he lost
got
his confidence.
Trent Cotchin, is he the man to captain Richmond?
Oh, what, all of these people that think Trent Cotchin, he is the absolute right man to captain Richmond. He's obviously under a lot of pressure. They're a big club. You know, you lose a game. He didn't play really well in the final last year. He didn't play really well in round one. He is a champion. He's won three best and fairest. Well, he's not a champion yet, but he's certainly on his way.
Will Hawthorn win today?
No, I'm tipping West Coast. I've tipped against Hawthorn 3 weeks in a row. The grand final last year, round one, and now this week, it's 1-1 at this point.
Hey, Duck, Grant Thomas in the Saturday Herald Sun said this of you in a comparison with Nick Riewoldt. The criticism I had of Duck, I reckon he had a few gaps.
How did I come into Nick Riewoldt's game?
I'm not sure, mate. He said, I wanted Duck to play well because he was such a good player to watch, but I remember being disappointed so many times because he was beaten or he didn't seem to be in it all the time. I don't think he was consistent, Carey.
Goodness.
What's your response to that?
My response to that would be, I think Grant is obviously trying to look after his mate Nick Riewoldt and explain what a good player Nick is. And he's right, Nick has been a superstar player. So I'm not going to disagree with him there.
Schwatter, what did you think about Grant Thomas saying that he was disappointed so many times because Carey wasn't always in the game?
Oh, you're being mischievous, Jay.
Oh, he's got merit.
By the way, Jay, the Essendon 12 that are currently out suspended, any word on how they're going?
There is big queries over Michael Hurley being courted by clubs, and Fremantle, we know, $800,000 a year
Xavier
offer.
Campbell, the CEO of Essendon, told us yesterday in relation to Michael Hurley that he's been sick for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I don't think Michael knows where he's going to be playing next year, to be frank. The big development coming up on this front is that Essendon have opened talks with Joe Danaher's manager, Nigel Carmody from Elite Sports Property, about extending his deal. Now, in the current climate for Essendon to stitch up Joe Danaher to a long-term deal, I think would be a symbol of hope and a beacon of positivity for the club, because he is super important. I can tell you that those talks have begun, and Essendon very confident of locking away their spearhead for the next 10 years.
After yesterday, the most important signing, I would have thought.
Hey, do you think Freo will land one of these marquee forwards into Michael Hurley, into Jesse Hogan? They've been into other big-name forwards over a long period of time.
If I could call it right now and put it in a time capsule, I think Watson stays, despite wondering at the moment whether he's going to play football. I think Hurley stays. Hooker is the one, though, I think, to Fremantle on big, big money is a likely outcome.
Well, how much?
800,000 plus. Yep. And that would give Essendon, if they finish last, pick one and then most likely pick two.
So they're
in
into
the
Hooker
draft.
And Hurley.
No, no, sorry. Fremantle into Hooker. Everyone's into Hurley.
Right.
Yeah, just every club.
Some late news, boys. I've just heard from the CFA captain. Country Fire Authority, that they are now considering building headquarters on Duck Pond because there is no chance of a bushfire out there. Jay-Z, we'll get a report from Robbo if he ever gets in a position. But Jay-Z, tell us about the players' strike. Is the players' strike likely or not over this collective bargaining agreement?
Well, it's going to happen. The talks about a collective bargaining agreement or new one will happen throughout the year. It'll be done by the end of the year. Of course, the big sticking point at the moment, not only is the revenue, the players' percentage, the money they will earn and getting some more cash in the players' pockets, but also a potentially new look drugs code. But I would be staggered. In fact, I would say it's almost 99% chance certain that the players won't strike. It's a bit of a leverage tool in talks, but I would be very, very surprised whether the players actually bring that card out seriously. I think if you ask the players at the moment, they would say they do not want it to get to that. So it will take up a few headlines. It will be mentioned from time to time over the next couple of months, but I think we can all rest assured that it won't get
will
to that.
Will they get their 25% take of the game, do you think, or will it be bargained down?
I think it might be bargained down a little bit from that, but
with
there's no doubt.
Maybe some growth in it over the next couple of years?
Yeah, or, scope potentially. Yep. Paul Marsh is driving a hard bargain. He was successful with the cricketers in securing that type of arrangement, but I'm not sure the AFL are prepared to pay as much as the players are talking about at the moment. Steve Johnson, fellas, kicked his second goal to put the Giants 30 points up just moments ago. And didn't he give it a bit of a fist pump up against his old mob? He was right pumped up. So Steve Johnson has kicked a couple of goals and the Giants up by 30 points. 8 minutes to go in the third quarter, BT.
Okay, so well done to Stevie J there. So the unfurling of this flag, I don't know whether Robbo's in position and he can hear us at the moment down there on the ground. Robbo, you there? No, he's not. So we're just taking a little time, as is Ash Chua, to get into position. We're going to do some stats with him, but he's taking his time as well, Swatter. So it's over to you.
Can I just ask a question? Sorry, Swatter. Duck, John, I was just watching Josh Kennedy out there before. Would he be thinking about last year's grand final? Do you think that would have bobbed up into his mind at any point morning or today?
I can't say what someone else would be thinking, but it'd be hard not to think about, you know, the grand final last year when you're playing against the team on the very ground that you lost a grand final. I can only speak from experience. After losing one, you generally think about it a lot, and especially when you play against that team for the first time.
You did?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Not only when I played against them, but probably every day for the next year. But it'd surprise me if you didn't, let's put it that way.
Big anti-climax, the unfurling of the flag. The players just ran off as quickly as they could and the flag hadn't even hit the deck yet. So, don't you reckon? A bit anti-climatic, the old unfurling, Jay-Z?
Why? They've got it up, they've got the unfurling the flag out in the stands. I sort of would have it on a post on the boundary line.
Well, that's traditionally what they've done.
Maybe just the one rather than the three, but when you've got three, when you've got it, you may as well flaunt it, BT.
Yep, all right. Shut up! The footy's on Triple M! Triple M rocks football.